Voice of Literacy, where literacy researchers, teachers, principals, parents, and policymakers share and discuss how literacy research informs practice. Join the biweekly podcast and discussion forums. My name is Dr. Betsy Baker, Professor of Literacy Studies at the University of Missouri. This week, we hear from Dr. Michelle Druin, Assistant Professor of Developmental Psychology at Indiana University, Purdue University at Fort Wayne. She does research involving text messaging and the impact it might have on literacy. Welcome, Dr. Druin.
Thank you, Dr. Baker.
We're glad to have you. First, tell us about yourself and how you got interested in text messaging and its impact on literacy.
Well, text messaging was a very natural choice for me. I've been using it as a communication medium myself for about 10 years, especially with my friends who are abroad, as they use it most often as opposed to my friends who are here in the United States. And I've always been interested on a research aspect in the effects of new technologies on literacy, on language, on learning. So it was a natural fit for me in both my personal life and my professional life.
So tell us a little bit about the study you did then.
So in the study that I did recently published in Journal of Literacy Research, I looked at college students' use of textisms and their literacy levels. And in this study, it was really more of a preliminary study. I was looking at their reported use of textisms. It's very hard to get naturalistic data on this, meaning it's very hard to get people to submit their text messages to me so I can look at what they're actually writing.
Yeah.
Because
mm-hmm.
text messages are really seen as a private communication medium. In any case, I looked at their reported use of textisms and their literacy levels. And what I found was that the students who said that they used textisms a lot had just as high of literacy levels as students who said they used them very infrequently. And I thought this was actually pretty surprising. And I also looked specifically at their ability to translate some words that are commonly used as textisms,
mm-hmm.
textisms meaning those abbreviations that people use in their text message writing. So I looked at the abbreviation UR,
mm-hmm.
with the letters UR, which are is the abbreviation for your, Y-O-U-R, and Y-O-U apostrophe R-E.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at the abbreviation of the number 2, which usually people use interchangeably to signify T-O or T-O-O. And I looked to see whether people who use textisms a lot have any more difficulty translating those back into their standard English variations than do people who use textisms really infrequently. And I found there that, again, there was no difference.
It's a fascinating topic because people often are very concerned about, oh, if I let my students or my children text message more, then it's going to somehow mess up their ability to write in standard English.
That's right, and that's really been fueled by the media.
Mm-hmm.
Kristen Thurlow did a pretty exhaustive search of all of the media headlines that have highlighted texting, and they've all been really negative, basically saying that children's and adults' use of textisms are eroding the English language.
Mm-hmm.
People will no longer be able to write in standard English. So, yes, it was a surprising finding. The one thing, though, that was interesting in the study and is definitely a direction for future research is this finding that students, although I didn't find any difference between their actual literacy scores or their ability to translate those textisms, students felt like the use of textisms was having a negative effect on their memory of standard English. So I think that's a really interesting and promising finding if we look at it, start to look at it longitudinally, because perhaps right now with these college students who've had relatively a lot of practice with standard English, there's no effect. But maybe if we look at adolescents who might be using standard English and textisms interchangeably, maybe there's going to be a greater effect, especially over time.
Yeah, I think that'll be a fascinating area of work to look at. And I often work with elementary children, although most elementary children don't own their own cell phones, and I guess most texting is done with cell phones, but
And on the social messaging sites,
mm-hmm.
MySpace and Facebook, there's a lot of textism use that goes on those sites. So
mm-hmm.
you'll find the same type of language in text messages and on those sites.
Okay, so given that you've done this research then, what would you tell parents?
I would tell parents to be cautiously optimistic. There has been work that's been done in Britain by a group of researchers at Coventry University, Plester, Wood, and Bell. And they found that 10 and 11-year-olds who can use textisms well and can translate sentences into textisms actually do better on literacy tests than the students who don't use them often and don't translate those sentences as well. So their line of research is actually suggesting that people who can, or children who can play with language in general, probably have higher literacy scores. So if a parent would see their child using textisms, then it might be okay. That said, I think that there, I did add the word caution. I think that there is definitely some caution to be entered here. I think parents should be aware that there are appropriate forum, there's an appropriate forum for the use of this textism or this text speak, and that's namely informal communication with friends, and that students should be using formal communication standard English in their, you know, essays that they write for school and, you know, other communication with adults. So I think parents should just make that distinction with their children, but know that this is a way for them to play with language, much like we did when we were young, but we played with it in different ways.
And then that's a nice segue then to what would you tell teachers?
Yeah, it is a nice segue. I would give almost the identical recommendation. I would tell teachers to definitely make the distinction in their classrooms between what's appropriate for formal communication and what's appropriate for informal communication. As a university professor, I certainly see a lot of students who use textisms in their emails to me. And I don't feel that it's appropriate, and I try to correct them when I can and when I feel that it's not going to be received too poorly by the student. But I think that students don't even realize how often they're not capitalizing things and using or not using the appropriate punctuation and using textisms in the place of standard English. So I think that they should make the distinction so that when students are doing assignments, they aren't using this text speak and are instead using what I think is more appropriate, which is standard English.
Yeah, and an area of research and some other podcasts we've had have talked about new literacies and what it is to read and write with digital formats and how those are similar or different to using printed formats. And I sort of have wondered if part of the new literacy curriculum is to help students be proficient in both texting and other forms of communication, and part of that proficiency is to understand when it's appropriate, when it's inappropriate.
I think that you're definitely onto something there. I think that there is actually a line of researchers, linguists mostly, who have declared text speak a kind of a new language, but it's much like any other communication medium that we've had in our history. It has changed slightly the way we communicate, but maybe we should embrace this, and we should, as you say, teach it as a new communication medium, but again, make the distinction between what we see as appropriate for formal and informal communication.
So once we've, let's break it out a little further then to principals and policymakers. People are having to decide on curriculum, how to spend resources, how to spend class time. What would you recommend to the principals and policymakers out there?
I would say my principal recommendations, or recommendations for the principals, would be much like what I would recommend to teachers. Have some consistent theme or consistent policy in your school about how much text speak is tolerated. And I, you know, it may be different for each school system, but I think in general, most teachers and principals are pretty wary of incorporating any textisms into their regular curriculum. So I would just say to, again, mark the distinction between, you know, text speak and for, and standard English, and say what's appropriate for each communication medium. With regard to policymakers, my recommendations are really conservative at this point because there's been so little empirical work done on the topic, and I think so much more needs to be known before policymakers can really make any specific recommendations. So I guess my recommendation would be to put it on their agenda as something that will need funding and will definitely need some large-scale longitudinal studies on the topic before we can further advise.
Yeah, it certainly doesn't seem to be going away. Your article is interesting. It sort of traced the history a little bit. In the first text message for a cell phone, you traced back to, was it 1999?
Oh, gosh. I think it was earlier than that. I think it was the 80s. It was a long time ago. The first text message was sent, I think, in 87 or 93. I just found it. Yeah, 1993, the first text message was sent. And interestingly, although it's really taken off in the United States in the last few years, this technology has been really well utilized in Europe and some of the Asian countries for a long time. So it's just now becoming an issue here, but it has been really a world issue for a number of years.
Yeah. Now, it's a fascinating topic. Where do you, you've already talked a little bit about some of the additional research you see that needs to be done. Can you expand on that a little bit?
Yes, I can. This week I'm meeting, it's fortunate that you, that we are talking this week. This week I'm meeting with researchers from around the world at the Scientific, Society for the Scientific Studies of Reading Conference, which is in Boston. And we're meeting from the 24th to the 26th of June. And I have plans to meet up with some of the researchers around the world who are also doing work on this topic. There's one researcher from New Zealand, a few from Britain, a couple from the United States, one from Taiwan, and a couple from Finland. And in this meeting, we're hoping to put down some good plans for making a cross-cultural study of the phenomenon, and I think it's going to be really interesting. So that's definitely a next direction that I'm planning to pursue with some other researchers worldwide. I do think there's a difference between the text messaging practices of children in the United States versus other countries. More specifically, one of the things that you said early on I thought really rang true, which is the children up in, you know, in elementary school don't really have a lot of access to cell phones and therefore maybe aren't using text speak as often. But in Britain, many children have cell phones. I mean, it's customary that you see 10-year-olds, 11-year-olds using cell phones. So there's definitely a difference. So I'm not sure how that's going to affect this cross-cultural study, but I'm really interested to see those results. I'm also just completing a study where I've looked at students' actual use. They have had to tell me, do they actually use this specific text speak abbreviation, and their knowledge of those text speak abbreviations, and equated that with their literacy. And I'm looking at whether or not that relates to their ability to learn new grammatical rules. And I think for a certain subset of students, there is going to be more difficulty with switching back and forth between text speak and standard English. And I'm really interested to see why might that be, that some students might struggle with that and others might do that very fluidly. So that's what I'm exploring next. And I'm also looking at whether or not the use of some particular textisms, like if you use something that's called initialisms, which is LOL for laughing out loud, or TTYL for talk to you later. Are those being used by people who just want to be efficient, and therefore maybe there's no relationship between those and literacy? Whereas maybe the shortenings, when you're shortening words like because to C-U-Z, or you're shortening the word you, I can't think of another example right now, but if you're shortening a word, is this going to be something that's actually detrimental to your use of standard English? So that's my next line of research.
All these sound like fascinating topics. We'll have to follow you through through your several years of research that you're doing here.
Well, thank you.
Dr. Michelle Druin from Indiana University, Purdue University, Fort Wayne, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you, Dr. Baker.
You can find Dr. Druin's research in the Journal of Literacy Research, Volume 41, Issue 1. This podcast is now available from iTunes, as well as our website, voiceofliteracy.org, where you can find a link to this article and additional work done by Dr. Druin. Join online discussions of this and other podcast episodes. Peruse a schedule of upcoming topics and guests. Pose questions for those guests. This is the Voice of Literacy.